You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Friday, July 10th, 2026. I won't back down. Developer continues pursuit of a Philadelphia area LNG export terminal. Published by Housley Carr. Developing more LNG export capacity in the Mid-Atlantic region would appear to make logistical sense, given its proximity to Marcellus Utica production and easy access to all important European markets. But physical constraints at the Cove Point LNG site in Maryland limit the potential for an expansion there, and efforts to advance projects along the Delaware River near Philadelphia have stalled out. Or have they? As we discuss in today's RBN blog, Pan America Energy's moribund plan for an LNG export terminal just downriver from the city of brotherly love seems to have gained new life with a new company name and a new site, in Eddystone Borough, Pennsylvania. Think back to just a couple of years ago, when the Biden administration's pause on new Department of Energy, or DOE, approvals and permits for exporting LNG to countries without free trade agreements, or FTAs, threw a wet blanket on what had been an on-fire market for new LNG export projects. During the pause, the pace of new sales and purchase agreements, or SPAs, slowed to a crawl, as did new project announcements. All that changed early last year, when the Trump administration ended the pause and made clear it would do all it could to facilitate the development of new LNG export capacity. Since then, 9 projects have reached a final investment decision, or FID. Woodside's Louisiana LNG, another expansion at Cheniere Energy's Corpus Christi LNG, Venture Global's CP2 LNG Phase 1, and later, Phase 2, NextDecade Corporation's Rio Grande LNG Train 4, and then Train 5, Sempra's Port Arthur LNG Phase 2, Qatar's Energy's Commonwealth LNG, and, most recently, Delfin FLNG, which will be the U.S.'s first floating LNG export facility. Together, these projects will add just over 80 million tons per annum of LNG export capacity, or about 11 BCF per day, by the early 2030s. Just as there are concerns that the ongoing build-out of data centers may leave the U.S. with a big surplus of compute capacity for AI, there are worries that too much LNG export capacity is being added, and that markets in Europe, Asia and elsewhere will not be able to absorb all the LNG the new terminals will be capable of sending out. But that hasn't stopped developers from planning still more LNG export capacity. For example, Glenfarne Group may be nearing FID on its Texas LNG project in Brownsville, Texas, Cheniere and Venture Global are considering possible expansions, and, as we will discuss today, the developer of a long-planned LNG export terminal near Philadelphia apparently won't back down in its efforts to get its project sited and built. When we last blogged about a possible Philly area project back in 2022, the developer was named Pan America Energy LLC and was considering 4 possible sites along the Delaware River. Our thought at the time was that it would likely pick one in Marcus Hook, Pennsylvania, which is already the site of an energy transfer marine terminal that, among other things, exports LPG and ethane. However, Pan America tried to locate the project in nearby Chester, Pennsylvania, and encountered strong local opposition. The Biden-era pause also set back the company's push to secure long-term offtake deals to underpin the multi-billion-dollar project. More recently, Right to Know or RTK, requests and related efforts by Delaware Riverkeeper, a regional environmental group, indicated that Pan America's development team has rebranded itself as Eddystone Energy LLC and is working to win over state and local support for a project called Eddystone LNG in Eddystone Borough, a tiny riverfront municipality, 1.5 square miles, 2,500 people, just northeast of Chester and a couple of miles southwest of Philadelphia International Airport. Despite its small size, Eddystone in the early 1900s was the home of the world's largest steam locomotive manufacturing plant and, during World War I, the largest rifle-making factory in the USO, and Jennifer Aniston lived in the borough briefly in her youth and attended Eddystone Elementary School. Plans for Eddystone LNG are virtually identical to what Pan America had previously proposed for a site in Chester. The plant facility would have the capacity to send out 7.2 million tons per annum of LNG, the equivalent of 950 million cubic feet per day. About 1.1 BCF per day of feed gas would be needed due to losses associated with the liquefaction process. There would be 320,000 cubic meters of LNG storage on site, and the facility would send out as many as 4 large LNG carriers per week. Representatives of Eddystone Energy have told state and local officials, who appeared to be generally supportive of the plan, that it would take 48 to 52 months to build Eddystone LNG once the developer has reached FID and secured needed federal, state, and local approvals. No applications for permits are known to have been filed. All that suggests that the project would not come online until at least 2032. As you would expect, feed gas for Eddystone LNG would come from the massive and nearby Appalachian Shale play, which stretches from the dry gas Marcellus in northeastern Pennsylvania to the wet gas Marcellus Utica in southwestern Pennsylvania, northern West Virginia, and eastern Ohio. There are, of course, an extensive network of pipelines to move gas from these production areas south and east to Williams Transco system and Enbridge's Texas Eastern Transmission System, or TETCO, both of which run through the Philadelphia area. From Transco's Compressor Station 200, gas could flow through the system's Marcus Hook lateral to Eddystone LNG. Both the compressor station and the lateral may need to be upgraded to handle the higher volumes. The Marcus Hook lateral can provide gas to two older dual-fuel generation units at Constellation's Eddystone Power Station, adjoining the proposed LNG export terminal. The utility had planned to take the units offline last year. Two even older coal units there had already been retired, but was ordered by the Trump administration to keep them available for emergency use. Another option for delivering gas to Eddystone LNG might be a once-planned, but never-built, extension of Enbridge's Philadelphia Lateral. The lateral runs from TETCO's Eagle Compressor Station to Chester Junction. A hypothetical extension could run from Chester Junction to the Eddystone LNG site. As we said in our blog on a possible Philly area LNG export terminal 4 years ago, feed gas for the facility could be purchased from the nearby Transco Zone 6 non-New York or TETCO M3 pricing hubs in southeastern Pennsylvania, both of which trade at a discount to Henry Hub for most of the year. We noted, however, that it is far more likely that deals would be made directly with upstream producers to supply the terminal, cutting the producers in on the sale of LNG and thereby giving them exposure to premium export markets in exchange for feed gas supply. Will Eddystone LNG advance to FID and secure its needed regulatory approvals? It's hard to say. As we noted earlier, an already astonishing amount of LNG export capacity is being developed along the Gulf Coast, and there are concerns that some overbuilding may be underway. Also, in recent years, it has often been difficult, some would say near impossible, to develop new energy infrastructure in the Mid-Atlantic region and the broader Northeast. However, it also must be said that, 1, the federal government has been taking steps to make the permitting process easier, and, 2, the development of gas-related infrastructure has been less challenging in Pennsylvania than in neighboring states like New Jersey and New York. One more thing, in November 2023, the Philadelphia LNG Export Task Force, a panel established by the government of Pennsylvania in 2022, issued a final report that stated, "A potential LNG export terminal in the greater Philadelphia area offers a chance to boost Pennsylvania's presence in the global energy sector and support economic growth in not just southeastern Pennsylvania, but across the entire Commonwealth." The task force's members included Toby Rice, CEO of EQT Corporation, the largest natural gas producer in the Marcellus Utica. As always, we will track developments regarding LNG export project and other related developments in RBN's weekly LNG Voyager report. LNG exports also will be among the topics discussed in depth at our upcoming School of Energy 2026, to be held in Houston on September 9th to 10th. I Won't Back Down was written by Tom Petty and Jeff Lynn, and it appears as the second song on side one of Tom Petty's debut solo album, Full Moon Fever. Released as the first single from the album, the song went to number 1 on the Billboard Mainstream Rock chart and number 12 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. The video for the song features Petty with fellow heartbreaker Mike Campbell, album collaborator Jeff Lynne, fellow Wilbury George Harrison, and a drummer named Ringo Starr. Campbell's guitar morphs into Harrison's Magical Mystery Tour Stratocaster during the slide solo of the song. I Won't Back Down is the song that Sam Smith's hit, Stay With Me, lifted the chorus section from, resulting in Petty and Lynne receiving 12.5% royalties from Smith's song. Personnel on the record were Tom Petty, lead, backing vocals, acoustic guitar, Mike Campbell, slide guitar, George Harrison, acoustic guitar, backing vocals, Jeff Lynne, bass, backing vocals, Phil Jones, Lynne LM1, drums, and Ringo Starr, Lynne LM1, drums. Full Moon Fever was recorded in 1987, 88 at MC Studios, Rumbo Studios, Conway Studios, Devonshire Studios, and Sound City in Los Angeles. Produced by Tom Petty, Jeff Lynne, and Mike Campbell, the album was released in April 1989. It went to number 3 on the Billboard Top 200 Albums chart, and has been certified 5X Platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. 5 singles were released from the LP. Tom Petty was an American singer, songwriter, musician, and record producer. He was the lead vocalist, main songwriter, rhythm guitarist, and bandleader of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. He started his professional career as bandleader, bassist, and lead vocalist of Mudcrutch. He was also a member of the supergroup The Traveling Wilburys, a group that also included Bob Dylan, George Harrison, Roy Orbison, and Jeff Lynne. Petty released 3 studio albums and 11 singles as a solo artist. He released 16 studio albums, 10 live albums, 1 soundtrack album, 9 compilation albums, an EP, and 76 singles with the Heartbreakers. Petty also released 2 studio albums, 1 compilation box set, and 9 singles with the Traveling Wilburys, and 2 studio albums, 1 live album, a live EP, and 7 singles with Mudcrutch. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers are members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Petty is the recipient of a Gershwin Award, a Billboard Century Award, and an ASCAP Golden Note Award. He died in Santa Monica, California, in October 2017 at 66.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.